To that river of anointing coming to you today from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and as usual, thrilled to be here on the air with you today for Living the Good Life. That's our radio outreach ministry show that we have every week at this time. And we are so glad that you have joined us. We are always live in the studio. And we are almost ready to celebrate our third year anniversary. The last Sunday of this month of April will be a three-year anniversary with a big old party here at the station with cake and everything, Bill. Yeah, we're having cake. So anyway, let them eat cake. So we are excited about that after 3 years here on the air on this radio station. And we love the good people here and all the fun that we have every single week. So we're glad you've joined us today. And today is Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter Sunday. But actually, the word Easter is kind of pagan, and it really is better to call it Resurrection Day, because that's what it is. That is the day that Jesus came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. And we are going to talk about all of that today. We're going to talk about the crucifixion. We're going to talk about the resurrection. We're going to talk about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus, who did everything, the supreme sacrifice for us, by willingly going to the cross for us. So it's going to be a great day, and I'm going to be joined today by my good friend and co-laborer, Carol, up in Georgia, Carol Wichard, and we are excited because she'll be joining us in just a few minutes and stay on the show today for a long time, well, till the end, and we will have some great chat and teaching, discussion, and we're going to talk about the significance of this holiday. It's not just a holiday where, you know, you eat a great big dinner. It's a lot more than that. You know, it is what is the meaning behind all of that? And the scripture tells us plainly, and so we're going to talk about all of the scriptures involved in the resurrection of Jesus. So we're glad you've joined us today. Some of you may be in situations right now where you need special prayer, and we want to do that, and we'll do that later on in the show. If you have a special need today, we want to be able to pray for you. And there are people, so many people that are hurting in this world right now. There's so much economic situations going on, so many economic situations going on in people's lives that they're difficult. There are so many people that are having issues with family or friends or relationships or marriages or partnerships, whatever. And we want to give you hope today that God does see and hear what is going on and does care about the details of your life. I believe a lot of times that we get bogged down thinking that, you know, where is God anyway? You know, what's he doing? I can't seem to hear from him. We want you to hear from God today because he wants to talk to you. He talks to us in many ways. One of those ways is through the preaching of the word. And some of you have been in a Easter service today where you heard the word of God preached and you heard things maybe you had never heard before, or maybe it stirred up your spirit on the inside and you felt God near you and around you. And and talking to you. That's the goal of the preaching of the word, that it changes us. God talks to us when you're reading your Bible. And there are times that maybe you've been out of church for a period of time or whatever and haven't heard much of the preaching of the word. But you go and you pick up your Bible and suddenly it comes alive to you. And you know that's what God wants. He wants to come alive to you through the pages of the word of God, because God's word is true. And we teach and we preach the word of God, and that is what changes us. Our slogan at Beacon of Hope now and has been the whole 9 years we've been a ministry is this: where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. I'm going to say that to you again, because that's what we're all about at Beacon of Hope. Where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. So whatever is going on in you today, take hope, take heart, be encouraged. God wants to talk to you. Be encouraged. God wants to intervene. He wants to invade your space. God wants to bring hope. He wants to bring encouragement to you today. And God wants to comfort you if you're sad and if you're lonely, if you're not sure what's going on in your life and you've got a lot of confusion and a lot of doubt and a lot of worry. God wants to speak to that today and let your faith increase as we go through this radio show. It is always my goal on Living the Good Life to teach the word in such a way that your faith rises, that your faith level doesn't stay the same, that when at the end of any of our shows that you walk away from your radio or your computer, that you feel stronger, you feel built up in God, that you feel that your purpose in life is more defined for you, that you realize that God cares about the details of your life. That is always our goal. So we're going to do that today on Living the Good Life. You have time to call a friend and invite them to listen. We are on the web globally, worldwide, right now at tantalk1340.com. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area or in the news stations up in Arkansas, Mississippi area, and you're listening to us on the radio, that is great. But also you can listen on tantalk1340.com and then push the listen button, and then you'll see me right here in the studio, and you'll also be able to have a good clear signal. We're thankful that we, through the beauty of technology, we can be around the world right now. And so we're going to talk to you more as we go through this show about everything going on. But let's listen, first of all, to a great new song by the group. New song. How about that? And it's called I'll Rise.
Out of your great love, you came down from glory. The Son of God to set me free. For all my sin, you gave yourself on Calvary. You rose so I can live again. And I'll rise because you rose. And I'll live because you died.
Because you die.
Praise God. Great song. I'll Rise by New Song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. This is Resurrection Day, and it's all about what Jesus did on the cross. It is all about what Jesus willingly did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul wrote this, and he said, and this is the Message Bible, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. Okay? It's very simple what we're going to talk about today. First Jesus and who he is. First Jesus and who he is. Okay? That's who, what we're going to talk about. Jesus and who he is. Then, Paul says, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. Who he is and what he did. What did he do? He went to a cross willingly for us. If you have your Bible, go with me to the book of John. And we're going to look in John chapter 19. The crucifixion, the resurrection is in different books in the Bible, actually on all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want to talk about John chapter 19 for a couple moments. And we'll probably go to the Matthew account, even though I preached out of that this morning at Beacon of Hope. But the crucifixion, if you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 19, and we are about verse 19, I believe. Yes, about verse 19, or 18. They took Jesus away. Carrying his cross, Jesus went out to a place called Skull Hill, or in Hebrew, Golgotha, and a lot of you have heard that word, where they crucified him. They put nails through his hands and through his feet. They crucified him with two others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. And then Pilate wrote a sign and had it placed on the cross. And it read this, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Now, some of the people around started arguing and said, it should say... he said he was King of the Jews. And Pilate at this point said, no, just leave it alone. And it said, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And let's go on to verse 23. When they crucified him, the Roman soldiers took his clothes and divided them up four ways, which is very interesting. The number four in the Word of God is always talking about worldwide evangelism. So it's very interesting that this number is used, that they divided up his clothes four ways. If you think of north, south, east, and west. So to cover everywhere, you know, and to each soldier, they gave a fourth of his clothes. But his robe was seamless. It was a single piece of weaving. And so they did not tear that up. And if you go on into verse 24, you see that this very fact was a scripture, a prophecy that was fulfilled that said that they divided up my clothes among them and drew dice for my coat. The soldiers validated the scriptures. And this morning at Beacon, when I was preaching, we were talking about all the different prophecies from way back. Actually, you can go back to the book of Genesis and see where God spoke through the prophets. And they said that this Messiah was coming to this earth, that the Messiah was going to save the world from our sin, that the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin, and all those things, the prophecies that we talk about at Christmas time, but also all around his resurrection and his crucifixion. There are many prophecies, especially in Isaiah chapter 53, that were all fulfilled in Jesus. So, and here's another one right here, this about the coat. They validated the scriptures. Now, in verse 24, while the soldiers were looking, and I'm in John chapter 19, after themselves, Jesus' mother, his aunt, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And some of you may remember that Mary Magdalene was the prostitute who had repented of her sin and had followed Jesus and has an interesting part to play in our Resurrection Day celebration. These four women stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her. You know who that was? That was John, who wrote the book of John. And he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." So he, even though Jesus had other brothers and sisters, he was the oldest one in his family. And he asked his disciple John to take on responsibility for his mother. And it says from that moment on, that disciple, John, accepted her as his own mother. And then in verse 28, I think this is really important, of John chapter 19. Jesus, seeing that everything had been completed, so that the scripture record might also be complete, then he said, "I'm thirsty." It's interesting here. Jesus was making sure that everything that had been prophesied around the crucifixion and all of these events of these few days happened. Because remember, God says to us in the book of Isaiah that there's not a word that he speaks that does not return to him void. And let me say that in a positive way. Every word that God speaks does something. It takes care of the issue that God is wanting to handle right there. In fact, we were talking last week that this little phrase, and some of you may have heard it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And then we added a fourth one, therefore, I'm going to start acting on it. Okay, I'm going to say those to you again. They're not original with me, but the last one is that God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now I'm going to act on it. So this is what was happening. Jesus was making sure that prophecy that had been spoken clear back in Isaiah 53, 780 years before Jesus died on this cross, Isaiah prophesied that he would come and would die on the cross, that he would be broken and beaten, and that he would take our sins, our pains, our physical problems in his body on the cross. That was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. So Jesus, it says in verse 28 of John 19, seeing that everything had been completed, so that the scripture record might also be complete, then he said, "I'm thirsty." And so they gave him a sponge soaked with wine on a javelin and lifted it up to his mouth. And he took the wine, and then Jesus said, "It's done, complete." And bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. Now, we know that the soldiers were concerned about these two thieves on each side of him, these two, you know, bad guys, and Jesus dying quickly. So they went and they broke the legs of both of those guys. When they got to Jesus, he was already dead. And so they did not break his legs. And this was also a prophecy that not a bone of his would be broken. And blood and water. And now blood symbolizes our redemption. Water symbolizes the word of God that changes us, gushed out of him when they put a sword in his side. So this is really interesting what happened. And we're going to talk more about it as we go through this show. But it's quite important that we point out. And let's go over to the book of Matthew now for a moment and find the same story. But we're going to go to Matthew about verse or chapter 27, Matthew 27. And we're going to look starting at verse 45. In 45, we find out that there is an interesting time frame here. And in this time frame, we see that there were 3 hours of darkness from 12 noon to 3 p.m. on the day that Jesus died. Now, many people believe that Jesus died on Friday. He did not. He did not. He died on Wednesday afternoon. Because prophecy had to be fulfilled that said that Jesus would be in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. Now, I don't care how you do your math, but if he died on Friday afternoon, 3 days and 3 nights is not Sunday morning. So the scriptures have confirmed that when he really died was Wednesday. Between 12 and 3 was a time that it got very, very dark in the sky. He actually died right at 3 o'clock. Now, that was the hour that the Passover lamb had to be slaughtered, right at 3 o'clock. So this is Jesus fulfilled that prophecy of the Passover lamb, he being the perfect Passover lamb that who willingly went to the cross for our sin and who died, gave up his spirit exactly at 3 o'clock, the same time that the Passover lamb was slaughtered, Jesus being the perfect Passover lamb. Now let's look at verse 45 of Matthew 27. From noon to three-hour period of time, the whole earth was dark. Now, this is huge. This is not just some little, you know, it's a cloudy, stormy day. History tells us that the earth went dark, absolutely, from 12 to 3 in the afternoon. Now, we know that's usually the brightest time of the sun, 12 to 3, not the dimmest. This was dark, dark. And at the time of Jesus willingly giving up his spirit at 3 o'clock, mid-afternoon, Jesus groaned out of the depths and he cried loudly. And I'm in Matthew 27, verse 45. And he said, and I cannot pronounce this in Hebrew the way our pastor Jim can, but here's what he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And what that means is, my God, why have you forsaken me or abandoned me? We know that Jesus felt that in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours before, when he was travailing in prayer, when he had taken disciples up there with him, and they kept falling asleep, and he was over praying and saying, God, is this what we got to do? Do we have to go through this? Do I have to suffer like this? Although he knew this was the plan. But he was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point that it says that he was sweating drops of blood. And here we have Jesus on the cross as he's dying, saying, God, why have you abandoned me? What does that mean? God, had God really abandoned him? No, God just could not look on all of that sin and sickness that was on Jesus. And so Jesus willingly became the Passover lamb. He willingly became the sacrifice for our sin. He went to the cross willingly. And so we see here, in verse 47 of Matthew 27, and I'm going to wrap up this little bit of teaching, and then Carol's going to call in and join me here in a moment. In verse 47, some bystanders heard him, and they said, he's calling for Elijah. Well, he wasn't calling for Elijah. And they even said, let's see if Elijah comes and saves him. It wasn't about Elijah. It was about God the Father. And so we look at verse 50 of Matthew 27, and we see that Jesus cried out loudly and breathed his last breath. Now, here is incredible. I want to get this in before we start talking to Carol here. In verse 51, at that moment, and if you're wherever you are, say these three words with me, at that moment. At that moment, this is precisely when Jesus willingly gave up his spirit, when he said, okay, I take the sins and the sicknesses of the people of the world on me forever, being the perfect Passover lamb. It says here in verse 51, at that moment, very moment, the temple curtain or the veil between the holy place and the holy of holies, where only the high priest would go, that temple curtain or veil was torn and ripped in two. And it says here it was ripped in two from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. That is phenomenal. This was huge. It was very tall. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom to signify that God the Father was saying, okay, no more separation between you and God. And that's why we have Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We go straight to. You don't need a mediator. You don't need anybody go for you to the Father. You can pray directly to the Father in the name of Jesus. And this temple curtain was absolutely torn from the top to the bottom. And there was an earthquake, huge earthquake at the same time. 3 o'clock hits. Jesus becomes the perfect Passover lamb, dies on the cross for our sin. The temple veil or curtain tears from the top to the bottom. All kinds of rocks were split open. Tombs were opened. This is fascinating here. And many bodies of believers that were in tombs asleep in their graves were raised. They were raised. In fact, it says after Jesus' resurrection, these bodies left the tombs, entered the holy city, and appeared to many people. Whoa, that's incredible, isn't it? And it says that the captain of the guard and those with him, when they saw the earthquake and everything else that was happening, they were scared to death. They said, "This has to be the Son of God." Whoa. What caused them to say this has to be the Son of God? The miracle of the death of Jesus on the cross and what happened at that moment when the sky was black, when the earthquake happened, when the tombs were open, when the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Wow. There were people saying, "Oh my," or in our language today, "Oops, this really was the Son of God. This really is the Son of God." Now, when we understand that Jesus really did die on the cross for our sin, it changes us completely. And we're going to talk about that with Carol. Is she on the line? She is. Carol, my friend, happy Resurrection Day to you.
Well, a happy one to you, too. I think it's a delightful time to be alive.
Isn't it? Oh, it's beautiful here in Florida today. And how's Georgia?
Georgia is absolutely the most gorgeous place on earth, I believe.
No, Clearwater, Florida is.
Oh, I tell you. You know, all of the heavens are just singing their glories today, and the plants are out, and God has taken his palette and just filled it with beauty.
Amen.
You know, this day is supposed to be this way.
You know, Carol, I was just talking, and I know you heard me probably, right? Okay. I was just talking about that day that Jesus died on the cross. It was not very pretty between 12 and 3.
No, it was pretty dark between 12 and 3. And I have a story relating to that.
Okay. All right.
When I was, you know, a Florida resident, as I was for 63 and a half or 62 and a half years.
Okay.
One time, Maxine and I chose to go to Lake Wales to the reenactment
of
the crucifixion of Jesus.
And right. I've heard that's really cool.
We were down there, and it was an open-air theater. And this was a professional production company using locals to fill in the different pieces and persons in the crowd. So we were sitting out in this open amphitheater, and just as Jesus had been marched to the cross and hung on the cross, way in the background, you heard a little thunder.
Okay.
And we looked up, and there was no cloud. I thought, well, ooh, this is really neat. They've got all kinds of sound effects going.
Okay.
And then as the things progressed and Jesus is giving his little speech there on the cross,
right,
the thunder really began to roll. And honest to goodness, it became very, very dark.
Oh, wow.
The clouds just rolled over, and they were dark and rumbling and rolling. And I looked at Maxine. I said, "I believe he's giving his vocal approval to this crucifixion scene."
Wow. Oh, my.
And make you really know that he is being risen, that he will be alive again,
right,
that he will sit on the right hand of his Father God Almighty, and he's letting us know that this is an important period of time that we're witnessing right now, albeit, you know, a theater production.
Isn't that cool? Because this, I think a lot of people don't hear it preached that it went dark like that, totally dark between 12 and 3. I mean, and I mentioned this morning, Carol, that it's significant that it was 3 hours because it was 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, you know, the three, like Jonah, you know, the three meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the fullness of God, the Trinity. And it's so interesting that it was 3 hours, and it wasn't four, it wasn't five, it wasn't two, it was three. And it's like God does this, Carol, all through the Word. And you know me, I love to teach that way because I believe that these there are layers of truth, you know, and this is one of those 3 hours of darkness. Well, you never forgot that event you went to then, did you?
Oh, no.
With the darkness.
It made a very poignant memory in our lives,
right,
as individuals. We just really realized that even though we were not witnessing the real event take place because it took place so many years ago.
Right.
But we were witnessing it in our day and our time.
That
and it
is
was
cool.
Prevalent at that very moment. And the power of God came from nowhere. It was not a darkening day. It was going toward evening, but it had not gotten to evening.
Right.
And the rest of it finished up, of course, in darkness. But the thunder was real. And you could watch the actors on stage as they were realizing something was happening.
Well, that is so cool. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that I just said this, and I want your take on this. That this captain of the guard, when all this happened, you know, when the earthquake happened and the veil and the rock splitting and the, you know, all the darkness and all, the captain of the guard and those with him, when they saw the earthquake and everything else that was happening, were scared to death. They said, this has to be the Son of God. And Carol, how like God to get our attention, you know, and or in this example that you just gave, how like God to get our attention. And sometimes he does it in very dramatic ways. And I want to ask you a question here, Carol, because there are people out there listening that have heard the resurrection story all their lives, but it hasn't changed them. And I want us during this show today, Carol, to make the points, and we ask God right now to put them in our hearts, these points that need to be made that will actually change people, and people go, this is God. You know what I'm saying?
I do, you know, and it's an amazing thing that sometimes many folk have to be literally shaken by an earthquake.
Right.
Realize the power of
mm-hmm.
God's message.
Amen.
And how significant the numbers in his message
yes.
are. He could have chosen any number to do anything
right.
he wanted to do.
Right.
Instead of following through with threes and sevens and fives
right.
and fours. He could have done all of that.
Exactly. But he's teaching us lessons here, don't you think?
That, oh, my goodness. You know, I have said this so many times. I've preached.
You're a teacher, and I'm a teacher, so we like it when lessons are taught, right?
Well, yeah, and I've delivered this message to people more times than one. There is nothing in heaven and under heaven that God does not direct, that he does not ordain. It's all there. And in Scripture, when you students come to me, students who want to know more about Jesus and God, and I'm not talking 5 or 6 year olds, I'm talking people who are now recognizing they need to be a student of
right.
Scripture.
Exactly.
They need to be a student and sit
yes.
at the Master's feet.
Yes.
And one of the first things I tell them is, you must understand, what you are reading is one level. It is simply words on a page.
Right.
When you absorb that, you go back and read that particular scripture again that you just read, and you pray for God to open up
Amen.
The wisdom of that scripture
yes.
to you.
Yes.
To get pertinent in your own life. And in doing so, you'll go back a day, a week, whatever the time frame lapses, and you read it again, and it won't be the same.
Exactly.
It'll be deeper.
Yes, exactly.
And as he uses those scripture lessons
yeah.
in your life to teach you, each one becomes more prevalent to your own personal life and circumstances.
And Carol, what you're saying is absolutely true, and I love the fact that the Word of God does that. It opens the eyes of our understanding in levels. Just like, let's just use this example, the 12 to 3 o'clock time when it all went dark, that 3-hour period of time. Three meaning God's fullness, Trinity. In the dark times of our lives, God is still there. In that 12-3, God the Father was there. He was looking on Jesus. Sad? Oh, you know, can you imagine? Because he saw all the sins, all the sicknesses, all the diseases of the world on Jesus that he was willingly taking. But God was there, you know? He was there all the time. You know that old song? You know, and so often I think that we get into areas of our lives where we feel the darkness. We feel the, you know, where is God anyway? Like Jesus felt, you know, maybe nothing like what he felt, but you know what I'm saying? That, yeah, that time of suffering, the times of depression, anxiety, worry, fear. And we probably have a lot of listeners right now today, Carol, that are going through tremendous pain and agony in different areas of their lives. But the point here is three, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he has not left you. He is right there with you through it all. Go ahead, comment on that.
That's true. The other day my phone rang and it was someone who needed to speak to somebody about spiritual issues and about the depression in their life and about their suicidal thoughts and about,
wow,
their purpose on life, which they saw no longer existed if they indeed had ever recognized it. And they said, I'm so alone. I'm so alone, Carol. I'm lonely. I'm alone. I said, there's a difference between being lonely and alone.
Right.
And this person continued, I have no one. I'm always by myself. And I said, I would like to share something with you. And they said, what is that? And I said, you're never alone.
Right.
There might not be another human being sitting in the room with you. I said, but here's a suggestion for you. When you feel very, very lonely, very alone, you reach your finger out and just reach it into space and leave it there. And I said, at that very moment, Jesus reaches his finger,
amen,
and touches you.
Amen.
And at that moment, you know you will never be alone. He is always guarding you, watching over you, teaching you, protecting you, all of it. You will never be alone if you know Jesus as your personal Savior.
And Carol, I so agree with you, and that is absolutely true. And if this Jesus, who we serve and love, and he's the Lord of our lives, if he would have died and stayed dead, then this story that we are talking about and reading in Matthew and John, Luke and Mark, all about this day, this incredible 12-3, that period of time, that thing that we celebrate on Good Friday when we celebrate that he went to the cross, even though it wasn't Friday, it was Wednesday. If that was all it was, then it's just a story about a nice guy, a great prophet, a teacher. But Carol, the fact that he rose from the dead 3 days later changes everything.
Everything, because it gives us a view of what hope is.
Yes. Yes.
And what resurrection can do for us in our personal lives.
Absolutely.
We've all gone through situations we wish we could have changed. Had we known what we learned as an older individual, regardless if you're 7 or 5 or 14,
right,
you don't know enough to know what a 17 or 18 or a 50 or 60-year-old person would do in the circumstance.
Right.
We make those mistakes. We make them with ignorance a lot of times.
Right.
And with having no forethought and not having anything to base our decisions on. And sometimes, you know, if we were judged on those decisions that we make that are bad, totally alone on those,
right,
our hope would be gone. But the resurrection of,
amen,
Jesus has given us the hope that,
yes,
we too can reach out and touch him and let him guide our lives and direct our lives.
Amen.
And we will be resurrected from all of our trash and our garbage if we simply dedicate our heart to him and say, change me.
Amen.
Help me. Give me your hope.
Well, and because of the resurrection of Jesus, then we know, because the scripture tells us, that one of these days we are going to have our resurrected bodies. We're going to live in heaven for eternity. We have a job to do. We have things that are going to happen. We're not just here today, gone tomorrow. We're not just, you know, a little flower that fades away. We have eternal purpose. And, you know, because of the resurrection of Jesus, the life of God that Zoe, Z-O-E, the very life of God, lives in us when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, Carol, but I could preach on that. I mean, that's it. That's the story, the resurrection. It's more than just the death on the cross.
It definitely is. And I was in researching and working this week on opening myself up for the presence of Jesus to give me the words and the wisdom to speak today to those people who were listening in all over the United States and across the world with us.
Right.
I came across this, and it's about six little paragraphs. It says, "Oh God, I'm amazed at your generosity. I don't deserve it. I can hardly believe it. I'm beginning to sense you are here, and I realize that you came to this earth for me in Christ Jesus. Mm. I believe he died for my sins and then is alive so that by his Spirit he can come into my heart.
Amen.
I realize that he wants me to be involved in his ongoing work in the world, and I'm prepared for that. Lord, here and now, I accept in faith this gift of life in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Please help me to stick in this decision and enable me to always appreciate it and live worthy of it."
Amen.
You know, when we ask God to come into our heart,
yes,
we pray the sinner's prayer and so forth.
Right.
This is probably a close to version to that.
It is, yeah, yeah.
But it really just, it's in common language, and it says, please help me stick to my decision.
Right. Praise God.
It's hard to make a decision.
Amen.
Publicly, which is what we're supposed to do. It's easy to sit in the declaration room of your closet,
right,
or your bathroom, or hiding in your den or your office and make a declaration and you almost whisper, "I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me."
Yeah.
But he wants us to make it publicly known.
Praise
that we
God
are accepting his life as ours and changing us through him.
Amen. Perfect segue into this song. And by the way, Carol, Connie tried to find the song you wanted on here. She did have the music already done, but we were going to add it, but we couldn't find it. But we'll do it another time, because the one you wanted was the Booth Brothers' Beyond the Cross, which so we'll do that another day.
I know it goes beyond the cross.
Yes, it does.
It says beyond the cross, there's a tomb that is empty.
Amen. Amen. Well, this
won't find him there anymore.
That's right. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris. This is one of my favorites from many years ago. I've Just Seen Jesus.
We knew he was dead. It is finished, he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I just see. Tell you he
I've just seen Jesus, and that's what it's all about on this Resurrection Sunday. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Carol, are you there?
I'm here.
What a powerful song, huh? I've just seen Jesus, and that's what it's all about. We got to see him in the power of his resurrection so that we can allow that power of the resurrected Christ to change our lives, you know?
I definitely know that, and I know that there are some things that God would want us to recognize and to know and to understand why Jesus had to be on that cross. You know,
right.
As I was saying earlier, sometimes when you just are a novice at reading the Bible,
right,
you read that, it sounds pretty gruesome.
Yes, yes.
But it's all for a purpose and
Amen.
A reason for us to understand the magnitude of that event and the magnitude of the death and the resurrection that followed.
Right.
Jesus' resurrection is really God's seal of approval.
Yes.
On Jesus.
Right. Absolutely.
And then it validates our salvation.
Yes. It's all about the resurrection.
Our spiritual union with Jesus.
Amen. You know, we were talking before we went to that song, Carol, that if Jesus had just died on the cross, that was the end of it, and they killed a great teacher or prophet, that would have been it. But, you know, the story doesn't end there. 3 days later, he's the risen Lord, comes out of the tomb. Death could not hold him. That is the essence of Christianity right there. It's very simple. We serve a risen Lord. And I want to ask you, Carol, because I want to be talking about that in this segment. How does the resurrection impact our lives on a daily basis? I want to talk about that right now. Why is it important that Jesus came out of the tomb, a risen Lord? Not that he died. Yes, that is, you know, incredibly important that he died and took our sins and our sicknesses in his body. But the resurrection, the importance of that, because we're going to talk about that more as we go through this show. But you have some thoughts on that?
I think one of the things that it means for me is new life, new hope, new beginnings.
Ah, that's great. Great.
That I can rise from anything that may have held me back in my life, that may have been a fear, that may have just been something that separated me and my relationship from Christ. Christ
right.
never walks away from us. We're the
right.
ones. We're the ones that run backward.
Right. Exactly.
He's always walking toward us, and we're running backward.
Right.
Sometimes we do that because we're fearful.
Mm-hmm.
We have to give up so much, as a Christian. People say, oh, you have to give up so much. You don't have fun. You don't do this. You don't do that. That isn't true.
No.
But what we do give up is our sinful nature.
Right.
And by doing that, we're validating the resurrection for our own salvation.
Amen. Amen. Well, and the last word, some of the words of that song we just played, I've just seen Jesus and I'll never be the same again. It is when we see the resurrected Lord and understand that death could not hold him, that we begin to understand that the junk in our lives cannot hold us. If we make the decision to rise in and come up into a new life, a better way of living, you know, a life of victory instead of being defeated all the time.
Well, you know, it validates the fact that Scripture's true.
Right. Amen.
And we need that validation. Some people just have to validate things to ad nauseum, actually.
Right.
Exactly. They will never be able to accept it as a truth.
Right.
And the naysayers have no answer for it.
No, no.
They have no answer that this man lived, died, and rose again. No one else in the history of the world has done that.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, even the soldiers had to validate, and Pontius Pilate had to validate the fact that no man, no earthly man had ever done that.
That is exactly right. And because this Jesus, who was the Son of God, in fact, when they were questioning him and Pilate said, they say that you think you're the Son of God, or the high priests were saying, you know, you say that you're the Son of God, are you thinking? He says, well, you know, it is what it is, basically. You know, yeah, you're looking at him. You know, he wasn't denied.
You validate the fact that he was God.
Exactly.
Only God can give life.
Right. Exactly.
And only God can conquer death.
Exactly.
And we see that death was conquered
Amen.
Called this earthly man put here as a baby.
Right.
Has conquered death.
Exactly.
He rose again. He's alive, sitting right at the right hand of his Father.
Absolutely. And he's there, and the Word says he's making intercession for us, praying for us, standing in the gap for us as our advocate. And when the devil comes before the Father saying, oh, you know that Carol, you know, she's done this, she's done that, you know, she's done, you know, Jesus is going, wait a minute, that Carol Witcher in Georgia, oh no, she's one of mine,
yeah.
You know?
Can't talk about one of his. Eat one of his. Can't steal one of his.
Exactly. Yes.
His stamp of approval is placed on us.
Well, the Word says, my sheep know my name, you know? My sheep know me, the Word that Jesus was saying. And we're his sheep. And it also says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone and done our own thing, you know?
Yep.
And but yet, Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, even though a lot of us have done a lot of things that we are not proud of or that we are ashamed of even. And yet, Jesus said, here, I offer you salvation. I give you hope. You know, that's the resurrection, and that's how it changes us. And that we can actually rise from the yucky stuff in our life to a new life, Carol. It just blesses me when I think about this, you know? It's just incredible.
You know, a lot of times when we're growing up and becoming, as Dr. Leo Biscaglia used to say, fully human.
Fully human, okay.
Yeah, fully human. We make a lot of errors along the way, and we take a lot of the wrong paths. We do a lot of good stuff in the process. Well, I don't know that we truly understand the impact of the good stuff that we sometimes maybe even accidentally do.
Right, exactly.
And we don't realize the impact of the negative things.
Right.
And then when we do, some people ride such a guilt train about that.
Oh.
And never fully understand the deity of God and what it means to be one of his children.
Because exactly.
Our earthly parents sometimes, and people around us, co-workers and family and friends and just strangers on the street, often look at us and say, despicable.
Right.
What you did was despicable, terrible act. How can you be forgiven for that?
Right.
We can be forgiven because Christ rose and he overcame all of that.
And because of his mercy, you know, when you were saying that, Carol, it reminded me of Psalm 103. And it's about verse 8. And I want to read a couple verses in the Message Bible because you reminded me of this just then. David, the psalmist David that I've been teaching on lately, says this: God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. As far as sun rises from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside out, keeps in mind that we're made of mud. I love all that. Doesn't that speak to this we're talking about how much God loves us, Carol?
It's an amazing thing because we think of love here on earth sometimes in many, many different ways.
Right.
Now, we love the game of tennis, and yet the first score in tennis is love.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't
it? You know, and we really have so many different ways of saying we love this, we love that, we love the other.
Right.
For us, sometimes in those ways of expressing love, and we may go out and buy something for somebody that we love. We buy a gift for a child, a gift for a coworker, friend, or whatever.
Right.
Hug somebody and say, I love you.
Yeah.
We don't understand the depth of the love that God through Jesus really has for us. It is all-consuming. It is wonderful. It is freeing. It frees us of all the sins that we have when we say, Father, forgive me. Help me to live a righteous life in you. Show me what I have to do.
Amen.
Change this Carol person, this Diane person, this David person, this Jean person, whoever
right.
it is.
Yes.
Changes us.
Yes.
That love is a forgiving, encouraging, everlasting love. He's not fickle. He's not going to see you one day and say, oh, I don't love you anymore.
Good
you
point.
Know, last night you did such and such.
Yeah.
You kicked somebody's dog, or you threw the scriptures into the fire.
Right.
Now he's going to say, I love you.
His mercy.
Let me forgive you for what you've done against me and my teachings.
Amen. His mercy endures forever. And he separates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west, which is infinite. He absolutely remembers not when we sin, when we say, Lord, forgive me. It's gone, isn't it? It's buried. It says in Psalm 103, in the deepest sea, it's gone. You know, it's the devil that brings this stuff back to us, Carol, and tries to defeat us. And it was the devil who did not want Jesus to die on the cross and become the Passover lamb for our sins and our sicknesses. Because the devil knew that if that happened, then God's plan was going to go through, which was that he would resurrect his son from death and make him the risen Lord. And that, in essence, is the big, big problem Satan hates, the risen Lord. He hates that. He hates him, and he hates all of us who know that power of his resurrection.
Well, Satan has constantly tried to push people into a false hope.
Right.
Of living a God-filled life.
Right.
Without him there to destroy everything.
Yeah.
You know, Satan is the master of evil.
Right.
He doesn't like anything that's good. If
right.
the sunset is beautiful, he'll do everything he can to destroy that sunset.
Right.
You know, if a person's life has gone from garbage and it's working its way toward redemption and,
right.
and
Amen.
A blessedness and an humble spirit and a bright light, Satan doesn't like it. He likes to conjure up the things in your mind that make you feel defeated.
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to talk more about that on the other side here. We're going to do station identification in just a minute. But, Carol, I want you to get ready to talk about the prayer ministry and how people can access our prayer line. But first, let's do station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Those are the new stations, and we welcome all you new listeners in that area to Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. This is a radio outreach from our ministry, and we have been doing this radio outreach almost three years. We're going to celebrate our third year anniversary on April 25th. We love doing the radio ministry. It is a live broadcast where you hear us chatting, where we have great music and teaching, and so we're glad you've joined us. You can become a partner with our radio ministry by going to our website, Beacon of Hope Ministries, and it ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can sign up, become a partner, and you can give tithes and offerings. Carol, is it important to give to the work of the Lord?
It's always important to give to the work of the Lord, because that's how the message gets out to the people who have not heard it. And it's very hard for me. I was sitting on my back patio the other day thinking, you know, I think a lot of people have heard the Word of God, and then all of a sudden it came to me that thousands and millions yet
yes,
have not heard
have
it.
Not heard, yes.
They've not heard it proclaimed.
Right.
It's important that we put our tithes and our offerings into good soil, and Beacon of Hope is good soil. It's a global ministry.
Yes.
Our goal is to reach out to as many people as we can, for all who have ears and all who will seek to hear and know, you know, that Jesus is alive and well for all of us.
And you know, Carol, I guess in a lot of ways it is worth mentioning that this is a sacrifice. The ministry has been paying this bill for the radio every week. God has always supplied the money, but we welcome people that can become partners with us. And like you said, good soil, plant their finances into this ministry so that we can actually do more airtime and do the things that God's called us to do. I don't begrudge 1 minute of the time I spend preparing and doing the radio show every week. It's a highlight of my life. I love doing it, and I believe we're reaching and a lot of people. And God has told me a long time ago, Carol, we'll probably never know all the souls that we reach through this ministry until we get to heaven. And so it's a faith thing, too, don't you think?
It's definitely a faith thing. And, you know, so many people sit and maybe they don't have a church,
right,
a physical church that
right.
they can attend.
Yes.
They find a beacon of hope through the radio ministry and through the outreach ministries and through our website, beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
And they go on there and they read and they hear and they see and they discover that God is alive and he's well.
Amen.
And this is a good place to invest your time and your effort and your money. Sometimes we can't do grandiose things
right.
because we're strapped for money. Some people in this day and economy are so strapped they've almost lost everything,
right.
including their hope.
Right.
But if they feel like they can do something, if they want to be a part of something and leave a legacy that they can be proud
Amen.
Of.
Amen.
You know, put your money where it's good soil. We don't. None of us take anything out of it. It doesn't go to administration.
No,
off
it goes
the cap
no.
or anything.
No, it goes straight to the radio bill.
Goes
we don't,
right in to pay that
right.
radio bill each week.
Exactly.
And from there, it goes into the homes of people who are interested.
Exactly. There is not a salary taken off of it.
To do the best we can, if you can only send, you know, $5 a week, that's $5 that didn't come in.
Exactly.
Unless you sent it. And it's an opportunity for people to bless others.
And the
There's
word,
no greater way to understand the blessings of Christ
right.
than to use your blessings to bless other people.
Absolutely. And the word says that when you plant your finances in good soil, that you get it back. You know, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. One of the things we do, Carol, is this prayer ministry that we started about a year and a half ago. Can you believe it's been that long now? And the success of the prayer ministry?
I tell you the truth, I don't think people really understand the impact of Beacon of Hope Prayer Ministry. I will say this, many people up here,
yes.
many people up
yes.
here, call my home and ask us to pray for them and to put them on the Beacon of Hope Ministry
right.
prayer list because it is so powerful. It is a dedicated group of people
yes.
with no financial support. They receive nothing. It is because they, as intercessors, are in tune with what God does in their lives and want other people's lives to be at rest with God.
Amen.
And as soon as the message comes across, it hits our airways, it hits our emails, and we begin that prayer. A prayer is sent to us as a request, and then a prayer is written, and that prayer is spoken.
It's spoken. You know, one of the ladies walked into church this morning, and she said, oh, because we started the service this morning with some praise reports, and one lady spoke up. She goes, I forgot to write this online to everybody, but she had had some complications with a bad pap smear and some complications that could have been very serious. And she said that after they did more testing that she's totally and completely fine. She's healed. And that was one of the praise reports. They were popping up around the room, Carol, this morning, just one after another of answers to prayer because people have agreed together in prayer. Tell our audience how they can access the prayer ministry, and then we're going to go to a great song.
Beacon of Hope Ministry, I think it's prayers.com.
It's prayers at.
Yeah, prayers at
beaconofhopeministries.com. That's it, yeah. Prayers
and,
at.
If they will do that, or if they will just write pastor
yeah.
At Beacon of Hope, or even the webmaster. Maxine is the webmaster, and
right.
she will get out any messages that they put on there at that point in time.
Exactly. All of those. Prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, IES.com, or you can always reach me at pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries.com. Carol, I asked Connie to put this song on because it's probably one of my all time favorite Resurrection Day songs. Bill and Gloria Gaither are from the area of the country where I was from, Muncie, Indiana, Alexandria, Indiana. Bill and Gloria Gaither singing Because He Lives.
How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that He still the call.
Westall always said, we are a people of faith. We're not people of fear. Sing that line again.
We can face uncertain days.
Sing with us.
Because he
because he lives. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. One of my favorite songs. Carol, that was a Homecoming Friends version, you know, where all the different singers
that was
help.
Oh, Pemberton doing the deep solo.
Yeah,
there.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, he's the one with the long hair.
Yes, I didn't realize that
that's
she had.
Pemberton.
Yeah, I hadn't read that part, that it was Homecoming Friends. So you did hear Bill Gaither in there, but that was incredible. Carol, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. I want you to help me teach this section of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, join us in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, that was Saturday night. You see, Jesus died Wednesday at 3 o'clock. He was in the tomb Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Thursday day, Friday day, Saturday day. The Jewish Sabbath ended at 6 o'clock Saturday night. Sometime after 6 o'clock Saturday night and before the dawning of the new day, Sunday, Jesus came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. It was after the Sabbath, it says, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, at the first light of the new week dawned, here comes Mary Magdalene, the prostitute, who repented of her sin, who began to follow Jesus, and the other Mary. They came to keep vigil at the tomb. And I love the next word in the Message Bible because it's one of Connie's favorite words, suddenly. Suddenly the earth reeled and rocked. Oh boy, God was really into earthquakes that week, Carol.
Yes,
I mean, he was like getting their attention all over the place, man. I mean, you know, we have this big earthquake and rocks are splitting and the veil is torn on Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and now we have Sunday morning. The earth is reeling and rocking under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing, and he was so strong, this angel, that he rolled back the stone and sat on it. And then it says, shafts of lightning blazed from him, and his garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. Wow. God was making a statement, Carol.
I think he might have been really trying to tell everybody that this is real.
This is real.
This is real. You need to hear what I'm saying, and you need to see what I'm doing. I am changing your world.
Yes.
I changed it with the birth of my son, the death of my son, and I am changing the way you people have thought for all these years.
Woo! Isn't that powerful?
I mean,
God didn't just kind of say, well, I wonder if they'll even notice that anything's different. He made sure that now, 2,000 years later, we're talking about the lightning, the angel, the absolute power of that angel to roll that great big stone away. I mean, the dead people walking around town that came out of their tombs. We're still talking about this 2,000 years later, Carol.
Yes, we are, because it was such a significant event. No event preceded it, and none have gone since.
Yes.
In the magnitude of this one event. This one event never taken place, where would we be today?
Exactly. What hope would we have? We would have just heard about a great teacher like Muhammad or Buddha, or I don't know the names of all these. Yeah, or any of the others. Just a great teacher. But this man, Jesus, was so much more. He was the Son of God, the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting on forever, and yet still so many Jews do not acknowledge him as the Messiah that has come to earth. They are still waiting. And, I mean, God did everything he could, Carol, to get their attention. Earthquakes.
You think that people, even today, when they think about Jesus, perhaps they think about him as being, you know, a 6'2", 6'4" man, very muscular.
Right.
That wasn't the case. And a person may be very arrogant or something, but he was barely 5'1" tall.
And he was
somewhere along in there, and he didn't weigh much, you know, weighed under about 120 pounds, had dark complexion, curly dark hair.
So it wasn't about
a man of the day, but
right.
Very humble.
Humble, yes.
Earth did not shatter when he walked
right.
Because of his self-facing situation.
It wasn't about him physically. In fact,
not.
Isaiah 53 says when we looked at him, we were like, whoa, I mean, he's not that impressive.
He's not imposing at all.
Right.
I mean, I've seen kids like, you know, 6'6" and 285, 290 pounds. That's an imposing young person.
There you go. Yeah.
That's an imposing older person.
But it wasn't about his physical stature, or it was about the power of God that was resident in him. Look at verse 5 with me. The angel spoke to the women. That's Mary and Mary. Okay. There is nothing to fear here. And yet we get hung up so often on really getting serious about God and our commitment because we're afraid that our lives are going to change. Don't you think Mary Magdalene and Mary and the disciples and all these around, their lives changed forever from that moment on, Carol?
In the blink of an eye.
In the blink of an eye, suddenly. The suddenly.
That angel. Woo. Revealed himself.
Yes.
Their lives changed.
Changed.
Because they realized it was truth.
Absolutely.
Everything that had been spoken by him through his father was truth.
Amen.
And they had known him as a friend.
Yes.
And a brother and a son.
Yes. And yet, where was he? Because in verse 5 there of Matthew 28, the angel says, I know you're looking for Jesus. The one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. I love those four words. He is not here. He's not in the tomb. You came to the tomb to look for him. He's not here.
And that's when he overcame death.
Woo, right there. He was raised.
He's not here.
You know, one thing I pointed out, Carol, in the next line in the Message Bible this morning when I was preaching, he was raised, and then I pointed out these next four words, just as he said. Because, you see, it's always he fulfills what he says and what he promises. He was raised just as he said. Just as he said. To me, that is huge and powerful. And then the angel says, come and look at the place where he was placed. Where he was, past tense.
And you see, that makes our eternal life dependent on the resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we now know that we can have eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he's not there.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, just like the Gaithers just sang. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I mean, it's all because he lives, not because he died, although he died for our sins. Amen. We've got, that's the piece that has to be in this puzzle. But it's because he lives, we go forward and we live, you know?
Wouldn't it be a horrible thing to think that our eternal life was based on our roll of the dice or our throwing lots or whatever?
Yes, right.
If that's all we had to think that we could get to an eternal life was just somebody say, well, you know, Carol, Marcia, your time is, you know, getting pretty short here, so here's the dice you roll, you know. If you get this number, you go to heaven. If you get this number, you go to Hades. And you're like, oh, my stars, what if I get the wrong number?
Exactly.
How do I justify this? I don't want to roll the dice today. I don't feel lucky.
Right. Exactly.
You don't have to feel lucky.
No.
We get to feel forgiven.
It's a decision.
And hopeful.
Yes, it's a decision.
We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we leave this earth, because he is not there in that tomb, we will be with him in heaven as promised to us.
Yes. Amen. I mean, that's the hope. That is it. Look at verse 8 with me in Matthew 28. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. Now, it's interesting. These women, Mary and Mary Magdalene, do not argue. Now, in the book of John, John only talks about Mary Magdalene and says she is the first person that sees the risen Lord. And Carol, I did mention this morning at Beacon of Hope. I find it fascinating that Jesus decided to appear first, number one, to a woman, because that was just like taboo, right?
Yep, right.
And number two, to one who had been a prostitute and probably had done all kinds of things. I mean, this person had done, you know, all kinds of evil, and yet this is who the gospel, to tell the gospel, to be the first evangelist, this is who God entrusted this message with. I think this is fascinating because it says they lost no time in leaving the tomb and they ran to tell the disciples. And then it says Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. And he said, good morning.
Yes.
And that's in the book of John, it shows how Mary thought that Mary Magdalene thought he was a gardener until Jesus said, Mary. And when he spoke her name, oh my.
Wouldn't it just shake your cage if one day Jesus just literally spoke your name?
Right. Exactly. And yet he does. He does come to us and speak to us in our hearts, in the Word.
He does. When I had my ranch in Polk City, Florida.
Right.
And I had worked extremely hard. I'd worked very hard that day on that ranch, and I'd worked all weekend. And this was like a Sunday night, and I was just literally dog tired. I fell into bed with no dinner, nothing. I was totally and completely exhausted. And during my sleep, I quit breathing entirely.
Oh, wow.
I stopped breathing. In essence, I was not there.
Right.
In essence. And I heard this very calm, quiet voice, reassuring voice, say, Carol, Carol. And I jumped up and I said, yes, yes, sir. And I realized I was alone in that room. My dogs did not even wake up. I had two boxers in the room with me. They never woke. I walked out my bedroom door to go outside my home, thinking someone in my neighborhood, ranch people, needed my help, as they often did in the middle of the night, or needed gas, or needed whatever it was. And I walked out to see who had called my name.
Amen.
And when I got out there, the coolness of the air and the quiet stillness of the night told me who called my name.
Right. Amen.
And I wrote about it. I wrote a story about that,
wow,
story about that event taking place. And I entitled it, I Heard the Owl Call My Name. And I knew who the owl was.
Right.
The owl for me was Jesus.
Right.
He knew my name. He called my name because he knows I have asked him to live in me and show me and teach me how to bring other people to him.
Praise God. Thank you for that story. That is incredible. And don't you know that Mary Magdalene had fallen at the feet of Jesus and repented and turned her life around and was actually following him? And again, though, I think it's fascinating that she is the first one that he speaks her name, Mary, to her. And immediately, instead of thinking that he was a gardener, it was like the scales came off of her eyes and she immediately knew this was Jesus. And she said, Rabboni, which means a teacher, you know, master, teacher. And I mean, she fell at her feet, down to his feet. And it says here that she began to worship him, which is just absolutely powerful to me. That when we hear God invading our space, talking to us. And I started the show talking about this, Carol, and I didn't realize how it was going to develop right now, because we never do. We just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how it's going to develop. But I felt as we started the show today, God speaks to us in so many different ways, through the word, through the preaching of the word, through just picking up a Bible and looking and something hits you, through something somebody says, maybe a prayer somebody prays over you. And God can change your life suddenly in an instant. Carol, take it.
Oh, in less than an instant. than an instant. He can change you and he can protect you in less than an instant.
Amen.
And I think maybe he came to her because of her background, of what people in her community thought about her.
Probably, yes.
They didn't think she was too upright and forthright as a citizen.
Right.
But she had been forgiven, and he came to her. And doesn't that make it wonderful that he comes to us, good old common folk? He could have shown up at Pontius Pilate's door and said, hey, it's me. I'm Jesus. I'm back.
Yeah.
He could have gone to the Roman soldiers and said, you didn't really get me, did you guys?
Right.
But no. What did he do? He came to one who had been forgiven.
Amen.
Then,
wow.
And if he will do that for her, doesn't it set the standard that he will do that for any of us, regardless of our social status?
Amen. That's
our
a perfect segue into this song, Carol. And then don't go anywhere. We're going to talk on the other side of it. Arise, My Love by New Song.
Suffering. Arise. and the tune began to shake. And like lightning from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
Suddenly a melody filled the air, riding wings of wind. It was there.
That is what God the Father said to the Son, Jesus. And he said, come out of that tomb, a risen Lord. And Jesus did that very thing. Arise, my love. Wow. He is the risen Lord today on this Resurrection Sunday, April 4th of 2010. Carol, are you there?
I'm here.
Woo!
Sitting in sunny Georgia with all these beautiful beautiful plants and flowers that have just made my allergies go crazy.
Don't you think it was a gorgeous day when Jesus came out of that tomb, the risen Lord? Oh, I don't think there was rain and hail and bad weather. I think it was gorgeous that when he came out of that tomb, a risen Lord, woo, praise God.
A life-changing event. Life-changing. All the people that were there, all the people that witnessed the removal of that stone, the death, every part of it, and the removal of that stone, and the fact that his clothes were just laid aside and folded up.
Yes, amen.
He was not there. All of them had to have had, at that very moment, a life-changing experience.
Yes.
And many of us who are Christian and have made the confession of belief in Jesus can remember incidents in our lives when we knew he rose for us.
Exactly.
And we can remember what it felt like to leave our old life behind.
That's
it. And to go into the life that we didn't expect to have.
Right.
But that he gives us because he's forgiving and loving, and his mercy and his grace are everlasting.
Don't you think Mary Magdalene felt that way? For her to be the first one that is told this. Now I've gone over to John 20, Carol, and I just want to read a couple verses. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, saw the stone was moved away. This is chapter 20 of John, right at the very beginning. She ran at once to Simon Peter. We don't see that in the book of Matthew, but we do see it here in John, that she ran and told Peter. and John, the one who wrote the book of John, and they started running toward the tomb. Now, evidently, John beat Peter in this foot race, and we know that Peter was older. He was probably 40s, 50s, and John was just a young 20-year-old type kid. And they ran, and then when they got there, they said they took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they put him. And look at verse 3 of John 20. Peter and the other disciple left immediately, and they got there. And it says that John, you know, outran Peter, and he got to the tomb, and he stopped, and he looked in. He saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Peter arrived and entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths, and interestingly, Carol, the kerchief that was over the head of Jesus was not lying with the linen cloths, but it was separate, neatly folded by itself.
Yes.
And because he's the head. He's the head of the church, you know? Then the other disciple who had gotten there first went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence. I love this in the Message Bible. Took one look at the evidence and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. And wow, what a life-changing event. He looked at the evidence, Carol.
And it was a sign that Jesus will return.
Amen. Amen.
They did not understand it when they first saw it.
No, they didn't.
They didn't recognize the significance of it.
No.
Nor what it really meant. But it gives everybody that lives after his death, it gives us all the same claim to a resurrected life if we choose to take it.
Amen. Amen.
His death brought life to all of us.
Well,
it's a promise, that, and he doesn't break his promises. As we spoke earlier, his promises are never broken.
Exactly.
If he tells you he's going to do it, it's a done deal.
And, you know, Carol, I think that's the message we've got to get across on this show today, that no matter what our listeners are going through right now, and it may seem like you've been killed and put in a tomb, that you're all depressed, you're over it with life, you're sick of where your life is gone and what's going on. Maybe a partner, a husband, a wife has left you. Maybe you have reached, you've reached out to people and they have not, you know, reached out to you. Maybe you are lonely. Maybe you're grief stricken right now. Maybe you've just lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost your finances and you are hurting desperately. The answer is found in the risen Lord. That is where your answer is. Carol, do you want to talk about that?
I think because he is the risen Lord, it gives us the concrete evidence that we know that life, as humans understand it, is eternal.
Exactly.
We're not going to be just wiped away. Those of us that are followers of Christ and believers of Christ are not going to live a life of insignificance.
Right.
We're going to live a life eternal. And when we receive our call to leave and to go and stand with the right hand, him on the right hand, when we go and face his Father,
right,
he will say about us, "This is Marcia, this is Carol, of whom I'm well pleased."
Right.
They now know, the people that read and the people that hear you and I and other broadcasts throughout this nation of our Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Right.
That they now know because we've told them. The hope is eternal. Life is eternal through Lord Jesus Christ. We have the right to approach the throne, as you said earlier, without having anybody stand there and speak for us. We can speak. He hears our voice.
Amen. I'm looking.
I was gonna say, Carol, did you bring a good lawyer with you today?
Well, because our lawyer is Jesus Christ. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Carol, when you were talking about that, I did not intend to read this scripture, but this is where we've got to read this. It's about verse 13 or 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Paul says this, first of all, you must not carry on over people that have gone on to heaven and act like they have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. This is what you're saying, Carol.
Since Jesus died. Personality.
Exactly. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave. This is verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Here it is, people. Here's your answer. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. We can tell you with complete confidence, we have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give the command, the archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven. The dead in Christ will rise. The rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them into the clouds to meet the Master. I mean, we could go on and on. You can read that on your own. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Master is coming. He is a risen Lord. Amen and amen.
And you know what's really strange is that I read that about, I'm going to say, 3 hours ago.
Seriously? Praise God.
I read that. And I was reflecting on it as I was reading it. And I'm saying, this is what today is all about.
Exactly. That's what it's about.
Sunday, this is what it's all about.
Yes.
Death is not the conqueror. We will live eternally.
Amen.
And that's a long, long time.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but his spiritual gifts will be poured out on us.
Amen.
And we will be able to take those gifts and help him go throughout the rest of the world proclaiming him as Lord and Savior, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his forgiveness to everyone. Because as he speaks and tells us that we are going to be prophets and preachers and teachers and workers of the kingdom, we will receive those assignments from him. We will be trained by him to do them, and we will do them in a glorious, glorious pronouncement of his power, his grace, his rule.
You know, when you're saying that, here's this phrase that I've said, and I've written it in one of my books, only what's done for eternity will last.
That's right.
And so we get caught up in all of the daily living stuff here on this planet we call Earth. We get caught up in the disappointments and the discouragements of our lives, the lonely times, the times of failure and sin. And God is saying to us, you've got to stay focused, and you got to stay focused on the risen Lord, on Jesus, who defied death. And he came out of the tomb a risen Lord. And when you have that focus, it changes your life. Carol, it changes your life.
It definitely changes it, because you realize all of a sudden one day, it's like you wake up, realize what I call a plastic world.
Okay.
I learned a long, long time ago that the world is plastic. It's fake. It's phony. It offers you instantaneous gratification. You watch the crowd run for that instantaneous gratification.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he who dies with the biggest toys wins.
Right.
Who has the most honors. That isn't what it's all about.
No.
It's a plastic world. The world that he changes for us in the blink of an eye is that we lose that mundane attitude. Those things hold no value to us anymore. We have our eye on the prize, and the prize is to live eternally and to serve God eternally with the love of Jesus Christ and all the angels and archangels in heaven.
Amen and amen. And so it's a matter of priorities, don't you think?
Exactly.
A matter of focus,
you know,
priorities.
People prioritize their lives every day. You do it as an individual. You do it
as a
parent. You do it as a sibling. You do it as a friend.
That's
true. At work, whatever. And it's always somebody else's priority that precedes your own, which should be first thing
your
feet hit the floor, and the last thing you do, and all throughout your day, singing praises to God that, number one, you're still alive.
Amen.
Number two, you still have a chance if you haven't done it. If you haven't said, Lord, I'm yours, you still have a chance. And you need to prioritize that into your life's work first and foremost.
You know, it's interesting to me, Carol, that on Christmas and Easter, you have the gang that goes to church, you know, a couple times a year, you know, and that's common, you know, across America anyway, it's common. And yet, you know, they have a need to celebrate the birth and the death, the resurrection of Jesus. a couple days, but what happens the rest of the year? And I'm not just talking about church attendance. I'm talking about the daily trusting God to help you through all the stuff that we have to go through, because this world is not easy to live in, and life is not easy. Life is tough, and there's disappointments, and there's frustrations. And we need Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say, Carol. We need Jesus. We need the power of the resurrection to get us through all these things.
Even if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and if we try to live a life that is godly and pleasing to Him, we're still going to have all the things that happen.
Right.
We're still going to have ups and downs and disappointments and triumphs and failures and all of that. The difference being, we know where to find peace.
Amen. Amen.
We know that we can sit down at the end of our day or at the end of any dramatic event or maybe a good event. If it's a good event, we sit down, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that this has taken place. Thank you for my job. Thank you that I have been able to feed other people today. I might not eat steak, but somebody else is going to be fed because you've taught me that I should be merciful and that I should be always looking out for my brother and my sister.
Amen.
It is a way of us knowing that even though we're going to face all these same old things because it's a fallen world,
right,
that we can still function in this world and know that we have a dome of protection around us, a guide, a comfort, a teacher, a lover, a friend, a brother, a sister, whatever we want Him to be for us at that moment, He's there for us.
He's the resurrected Lord. And I got to read this one verse, and then we're going to talk about it after this song. It is Romans 8:11, and it says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that power, that Spirit of God, can give life to your mortal body in Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this song by Nicole Mullen, Redeemer.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know? This far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives.
I know my Redeemer lives. Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. And if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that same Spirit will give life to your mortal body. Those of you right now out there who are not sure this moment that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus. Carol, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Are you there?
I can do it.
All right. In the name of Jesus, those of you out there that are not sure of your salvation and you're not sure that your Redeemer lives, now's the time to accept that Redeemer as your personal Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
Died on the cross for my sins and my sickness.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask you now, God, to forgive me.
I ask you now, God, to forgive me.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Live in me.
Live in me.
Teach me to become your child.
Teach me to become your child.
Teach me to trust you.
Teach me to trust you.
I choose to invite you now by faith.
I choose to invite you now by faith.
And accept you as my Lord and Savior.
And accept you as my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Carol, tell them how to reach me or us or whatever if they've prayed that prayer today, will you?
BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com is the website. You can go there and follow the little buttons that tell you how to reach various people associated with the ministry. You can reach Pastor Marsha at pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. You can leave messages there with her for the prayer. You can also do the prayer warriors. When you go to the Beacon of Hope ministry website, it will tell you how to get to the prayers. It's prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistry.com.
Exactly. Praise God.
This day was made for all of those who have been unredeemed.
Amen.
Felt that they've been unredeemed. We all need to be resurrected. And for those of you who prayed that prayer, it is my hope, my wish, my dream that you realize how powerful you can be with the love of Christ lifting you up. You can overcome this world, this fallen, forgotten world. You can overcome it.
You know, you're right, Carol. 1 John 5:4, I think, says that the victory that overcomes this world is our faith, you know? And when you pray that prayer that we just prayed, the sinner's prayer, and you say, Jesus, come into my heart, you don't see him come in. Some people feel him and they feel different. Some people don't feel any change at all. It is done by faith. And as they take one step in front of the other, they begin to see the changes going on in their lives. You know, it's a huge day, Resurrection Day, because we celebrate that death could not keep Jesus down. Satan could not keep him in that tomb. He had to come out the risen Lord. You know, isn't that cool? It's so cool.
That's really cool. In Matthew 28:16-20, says the 11 followers went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This is after he was risen.
Right.
It says, on the mountain they saw Jesus, and they worshipped him, but some of them did not believe it was really him. Then Jesus came and said to them, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all the people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is very important. Verse 20. Teach them to obey everything
Amen.
That I have taught you.
Yes.
And I will be with you always,
mm-hmm.
even until the end of this day.
Teaching them to observe and do and believe. And that's what it's all about. That's what Beacon of Hope's all about, Carol. I said at the beginning, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's all about teaching us a better way to live, don't you think?
Beacon of Hope is about teaching people to know that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and was resurrected. And all who come will find him at Beacon of Hope.
Yeah.
The prayer ministry is powerful.
Yes.
The preaching is beyond powerful. It is spirit-filled. It is God-led. If you can't stand in that congregation physically, then stand with us on the radio show. Put your hand out and praise God when you feel something overcome you, when you feel the Spirit of God move you, even in your own home.
Right.
Lift your hand and praise God.
Amen.
He's giving you a message. He's saying to you, brother and sister, I'm coming. I'm coming into your heart. I'm coming into your life. And I will bring you into my world.
Amen.
And I will use you as a mighty tool to continue to bring my work to the world.
You know, and all of that we've been saying, it's because he lives, we can face tomorrow. You know, and I don't know if any Resurrection Sunday radio show would be complete without that song, and I'm glad we played it earlier. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. And Carol, for those that are listening right now that have a hard time facing tomorrow, that aren't sure what tomorrow might bring, that are beat up a little bit today, kind of bruised and beaten up, and don't really fully understand the power of the resurrection of Jesus, we encourage you to get in the Word of God. Start reading, and start reading with the book of John. If you're not one that's familiar with the Word, start reading in the book of John. It'll change your life. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's fourth book of the New Testament. Also, those of you that are in the Tampa Bay area and can come physically to our facility in Clearwater on Almerton Road, we welcome you on Sunday mornings at 11 and Wednesday night at 7, Bible study. Carol, I'm starting a new series Wednesday night on the book of Acts, and it's going to change our lives. I love teaching the book of Acts. I'll tell you what. This is what happened after the disciples understood the resurrection. The book of Acts is what happened next. It's going to be powerful. I can't wait to get there myself.
It is very powerful. It is a powerful book, and it is a book still filled with hope, and there's resolution that
yes.
Christ did indeed leave us.
Yes.
Leave us with the knowledge that we can become followers.
Amen. Our lives can change, and I think that if people hear that today, Carol, that there's hope and that their life doesn't have to stay the same because of the fact that Jesus is the risen Lord, that's it. That's what we want them to hear, don't you think?
I think so. And the words are, don't give up.
Don't give up. Absolutely,
you know,
don't give up.
And remember this. God still sends his angels.
Right.
And he still moves stones.
Yeah. Good point.
And if there's a stone in your path and you've stubbed your toe on it more than one time, he can remove it. Be that a bad attitude, be that a habit that you have, be that an alcohol problem, a drug problem, whatever the problem is, that's a stone that he can pull from
Praise
you
God.
And free you up, and you can be resurrected
Woo.
That issue that is keeping you away from him.
Praise God, Carol.
Away
Preach
from
it.
His victory
yes.
over those stones.
You know,
give God the opportunity to push your stone away.
Amen. And, you know, that is what Beacon's all about. Whether it's a physical problem you have, an emotional problem, whether it's a spiritual issue deep within that needs to be resolved, we're all about the Word of God and letting the Word do the work in us that needs to be done. And, you know, it's that's where it's at, Carol. It's all that. Carol, give me one final thought here before we wrap up. I'm so glad you've been on the air with me today. Hasn't this been fun on Resurrection Sunday?
It's been a wonderful time. My message for today is don't quit. Don't ever stop anything because you might miss the answer to your prayer.
Yes.
You know, it's right there. The angel might be just getting ready to put that check in the mail for you, might be getting ready to hand you that job. We can't quit because Jesus didn't quit. He rose above it all when he came out of that cave, tomb, and went to his Father in heaven. He didn't quit.
Amen. Amen.
He reached the next level of life through resurrection. Please, people, put your lives into his hands and reach the next level for your own self.
Amen.
Risen Christ. God bless everybody. I hope this message has been prevalent to someone today and that lives change. And if your life changes because of this show today or any of the shows on Beacon of Hope, drop us a line, beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yes.
And let us know. We'd like to sing the praises for you as well.
Praise God. Thank you, Carol. You're always a blessing. And I will be with you 2 weeks from this weekend, live up there. And if anybody in the Atlanta metro area wants to be in a gathering of believers that we're going to have, they should contact webmaster@beaconofhopeministries.com for information. Two weekends from this weekend.
Yes, you will be ministering up here
yes.
at the gathering place in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
And you and Pastor David will be our house guest, and
right.
we plan on having a glorious good time in Jesus Christ right here in our living room.
And some good food, that's right.
Good food and good song and praises and just an uplifting experience.
Amen. Come Wednesday night to Beacon of Hope in Clearwater. Bible study starts at 7, prayer meeting at 6:15, Sunday morning worship at 11. It's been our joy and our pleasure to be with you today. We love doing Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my good friend Carol Wichert, and signing off today. And we leave you with our theme song as we go. It's not far to Jesus. And guess what, dear one? It isn't far to Jesus. Reach out to him right now. Talk to him and accept him as the risen Lord in your life. Go to our website and you can catch this show again, repeated after tomorrow sometime. It'll be on our website. God bless you. Have a great week.